dbkmediaservices.com.
You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox. Hello, SVC fans, and welcome in once again to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. My name is Bruce Knox, and I will introduce the other two young men who are joining us this evening in just a moment as I introduce show 272. It is brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center, all kinds of fun under one roof. And that roof is located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, right off of Bridge Street, just behind the Hampton Inn. They are open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. And their phone number, should you need to call them, 740-773-7529. Of course, you can get all kinds of detailed information at their website, which is located at TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com. Appreciate their sponsorship of the podcast so that we can get together and talk all kinds of SVC sports. It's a special edition this evening of SVC Sports Talk because each of our bump songs going into the break are not selected by yours truly, but instead are selected by this guy. Say hello, everyone, to one, the only, Mr. John Bruce. John, how you doing?
I'm doing fantabulous now that I know my music selections will be on this show.
That's right.
Yeah. I went back a little bit on my more of what I used to listen to, and I was very happy. The selections I chose.
Well, we'll see what the listening audience thinks about that. We want to welcome in our mainstay, Mr. Shane Combs. Shane, how about yourself? How are you doing?
Well, doing pretty well today, guys. Busy day, got a lot going on, but always kind of a highlight of the week to kind of come in on Sunday night to the studio and talk some SVC sports, and I think we have a really good agenda tonight. I think the fans will really enjoy it.
Okay. Any hints as to what we might look forward to here in the agenda?
Yeah, I think we have a nice rundown. Yeah, I should always mention to check out the Triple Crown link there on the front side. Always make sure you don't miss out on anything coming up, soccer links and things like that. And then you'll hear us mention Advanced Services as well as North Fork Animal Clinic and Crown Hill Golf Club. I did want to mention, guys, we put a piece on Kevin up. You're speaking of Crown Hill Golf Club there on the website. Mm-hmm. We had hinted a couple weeks back getting a nice award, so congratulations to Kevin. I know he's mentioned to me two or three times that he's a little homesick during basketball season. He appreciates the website to kind of as a way to keep up on everything going on, because Kevin, obviously we know him as a golf coach, golf pro, golf teacher, things like that. But he's a huge sports fan. Mm-hmm. He really cares about the kids at the Side of Valley Conference and does that. So appreciate all that he does, and congrats to him. So again, as always, Advanced Services, Crown Hill Golf Club, North Fork Animal Clinic. We appreciate them. Yeah, you know, guys, throughout the show, I think we're gonna look at some things. I think the feature segment, John, you and I will be able to pick out some things that maybe the fans are underestimating. And I think this is going to allow you and I to just dig into the sport of basketball. Yeah, maybe not just the high school level, maybe boys, girls, junior high, little league, maybe just, you know, whatever you mm-hmm. see fit. I kind of look forward to that. And, you know, I look down through and, we're going to look back. We're at the halfway point, Bruce, where we're making the turn for boys and girls. And, so we're going to look at some top headlines, some, you know, individual surprises, some things that we look forward to. I think John, fans always kind of have that one matchup or one thing that they're looking for into the second half. So maybe we'll throw some things out there that'll make a lot of sense. And then, you know, the job openings we talked about last week, I got a lot of follow-up stuff. So, again, as I said last week, when certain feedback reaches a certain point, I feel like it's our duty to kind of not ignore it. When it's multiple three, four, five times and it gets up into the point where, you know, people have a lot to say about it, I think that makes it fun. So, I actually had the one fan question, Bruce. I don't know if you want me to go into that, or if you want to take a look at that and see.
I can at least read it here. It is a question we received from a fan, and it's got to do with,
Well, just let me read it here. It says, with the way the game is called, combined with how bad teams shoot foul throws, isn't it best, especially if you have depth, to just teach a very physical brand of defense with hands pushing and a lot of body? We've talked about how physical it seems that the game is becoming, especially on the outside. Get in the paint a little bit. It's not quite as bad if you're driving and so forth. But what about that? Is maybe a very physical brand of defense maybe what you should be teaching? John, we'll let you take it first.
Well, I don't think you ever teach pushing.
No, that's true.
But yeah, but with how the game's called, you can be a lot more physical with your body, and you can use one hand when you're kind of defending on the perimeter. But pretty much the second you put your second hand up, it's going to be a foul. You know, I think once you get into kind of pushing, that's where you would definitely need the depth, because you're going to get called for fouls there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, for the most part, I haven't seen free throw shooting be that horrendous to where it's a great idea to put the other team in the 1-1 in the first 3 or 4 minutes of the game.
Okay.
I'll send you some game film.
I said it hasn't been overall. But I mean, there definitely are times, but I think, you know, being more physical is going to be the way to, you know, slow down the other team's offense as a whole.
Shane, what say you on this?
Well, I understand what the email's saying, and, you know, the conversations back and forth. I always enjoy these types of basketball questions, and, you know, through emails or through text, you know, a lot of times I'll have dialogue back and forth. And I think the point is, if you do have the depth, I think you can play a little bit more physical than you certainly could 10, 15, 20 years ago. You know, the more and more I watch, you know, I've done a couple little detailed studies and some different things. What I want to do is try to pick out some games maybe where I don't even have a rooting interest, to see, maybe to make sure I'm not persuading the data or things like that. I get the ability to watch so much game film of, you know, it's obviously people that, you know, that I care about and I want to win, but at the same time, I try to watch it with an open eye when I'm doing certain things like this and really look for things. And quite frankly, I'm telling you, the bonus impacts the way the game's called greatly. You know, that seven on the board up there too early in a half scares officials to death. I'm more and more convinced of that. And I think there's more hands. I think there's more arms in the ball handler. I think there's it's far more physical away from the ball. And, you know, I will say, John, that in the boys game, a lot of the guys that get to the line in this particular league can destroy, mm-hmm, you. You know, your Cam Evans, your Isaac Little, you know, Nesser, those types, mm-hmm, of matchups, Logan Bennett, those types of matchups are huge. On the girls' side, some of your really, really tough matchups are much improved shooters. We know how many times Basie can get there. We know Graves is a good shooter. Coleman is a much improved free throw shooter from, mm-hmm, earlier in her career, if you remember. So the reason I joked is, I know, I'll just use the Payne Valley girls for an example, and obviously we're a bottom half team, but nonetheless, you know, where young kids are trying to get better and trying to get them more physical, and you know how much, you know, throughout the year I've talked about the three-point shot, trying to balance, not falling in love with it and attacking. Well, the good news is this week in three games, we got to the line 88 times. Mm-hmm. The bad news is we made 33.
I get it.
So, I mean, we lost. Now there's one game we lost. It wasn't going to matter what we were, because that team was just going to out-athlete us. But there was a game, a very winnable game, we lost by, I think, 8, 9, 10 points, where we were 8 of 29 from the free throw line. So that, I think, more you'll see in the girls' game, depending on who's getting the line, how many they're shooting, things like that. I think a lot of times, again, in the boys game throughout. Now, there are certain teams I scout on the boys side when I really dissect their team and I see some physicality and some different things. there's some matchups. Again, I could see where every now and then putting them on the line would be a heck of a lot easier than guarding the two or three best players out there. You know what I mean? So I am intrigued by this email in terms of, I'm not saying you'd start fouling like you would at the end of the game, like the Hack-a-Shaq days of, you know, or like you see in the NBA. But I do see some strategic sense in some of these teams. It is so hard to match up with, you know, top 7, 8, 9, 10 kids in the league that every now and then I could understand why you're more intrigued by putting someone on the line to shoot 1-1 or even a double bonus just to see, can they go to the line and come away with a point or a point at all? It is. I do think for sure the physicality of the defensive end, you owe it to yourself to play whatever it is you play, kind of a hard, tough, you know, brand of it, because you are going to get away with just a little bit more than you ever have. And as I said last week, a lot of times I think it's just, you know, maybe certain individuals that you really rely on for ball handling or scoring or whatever it might be, just being careful in certain situations. If you're playing with one foul in the first quarter, you obviously don't want to pick up a second. If your coach trusts you with two, you obviously got to be smart in the second quarter. You know, you don't want to pick up that, you know, obviously that third or fourth there in the late third, John. So, I mean, it's, you know, every coach handles that foul trouble a little differently. But I think we'd all agree, wouldn't we, John, that we have one or two kids on our team that foul trouble isn't really relevant. It's more about the physicality they bring and the toughness they bring. Is that fair? Do you think you can almost pick one or two kids out on just about every team you watch or coach over the years where, hey, we really rely on this kid here for some toughness and some physicality, and a lot of times foul trouble comes with that.
Right, yeah. It feels like you almost have those kids that you just rely on for their toughness. And, you know, if they're going to get in some foul trouble, it's okay from time to time because, you know, that comes with the type of player they are. So game by game, it can kind of change with how the game is officiated. But I do think those players are extremely vital to have.
Well, and the other thing I would add on that, Bruce, is a lot of times in the first and third quarter, if you'll kind of pick your spots and allow yourself to settle into the game, you allow yourself to become even more physical on the defensive end. Because, like, I'll give you an example. The last three boys games I've watched, the most fouls that have been called in the third quarter would be two.
Wow.
Okay, so think about that. In the last three boys games, all SVC games that I'm counting, so I'm not counting not only the last three SVC boys games I've watched, In the third quarter, the most fouls have been called are two. So, you know, if teams are coming into the fourth quarter at 1-1, obviously you're probably not in individual foul trouble.
Right.
And then, you know, you really – and some of these teams on the defensive end, they can overwhelm you so much. Our top half of – the other night in the league, for example, we had statistically the four top teams playing the four bottom teams. Well – here's what I find when I watch those matchups, not being a boys coach anymore and just watching as a fan, or, you know, obviously if I'm watching for the Payne Valley kids, I like seeing them do well. But, you know, even when I'm just giving an objective basketball look, it only takes 3 minutes. You know, there's times you're sitting on the bench as a coach when you're in those types of games where you'll look up and you'll be like, hey, we're hanging in there. We're down 5, 6, 7, 8. And you'll look up 2 minutes later and you're down 20. You know what I mean? It can happen right now. I mean, it just takes 3-4 turnovers. You know, a couple threes go down. You turn it over a couple times. They get out in transition and go. So I think that has a lot to do with strategy, too, in terms of trying to avoid settling in the first 3 to 4 minutes of each half.
And Shane, speaking of the kind of 3 minutes where it can kind of get away from you, that's kind of how our weekend with Unioto went. Friday night up at Westfall, it was a 3-point game at the half, and then about the first 3 minutes of the second half, we got it up to 9 or 10 points and kind of stayed there for the majority of the rest of the game. And then down in Greenfield last night, we were up, I think, 6 late in the third quarter, and then last 3 minutes we go on like a 7-0, 9-2 run to go up 13 at the end of the third, and that was the game. So I mean, yeah, it's with how physical these teams can be, if you let one of those like 2-3 minute increments get out of hand, then that game can be over in a hurry.
John, do you see your guys' depth take over there? I know, like, in the second quarter of your Adina game, if you'll think back there with me, you know, early second quarter, if I'm not mistaken, you guys didn't have a starter on the court there for a couple possessions. So maybe one, depending on who you started at, because I know you had one guy out.
Right.
But you, but basically my point is, do you see your depth of where, one, they're fatigued, or two, maybe they get in some foul trouble where they're not going as deep? Do you see that as a chance to pounce? Do you see that a lot in terms of the way you guys can close a half or close a quarter?
Yeah, because it kind of ends up being different people every time too, because I know that night over at Adina, we were up three going into the second quarter, and then Carson DeBoard off the bench hit a three, and then Jeremy Lambert off the bench hit a three, and then put it to nine, and then we just kind of spaced it out from there. You know, that's where the depth really, really helps, because – and then, you know, if you look at the end of the third quarter last night where we play the depth a little earlier, well, then our guys are fresher at the end, to where we can kind of get a little bit more of a push in that game. So I do think the depth is huge in, you know, being able to push leads bigger, because if you don't have much, if any, of a drop off when you go to the bench, then, you know, that's huge, especially when the other teams are in their benches as well.
I guess in short, Bruce, to answer that question, you know, it still comes down to your personnel, what you believe. You know, you take Southeastern girls who are having a great year, you know, they will usually dominate the free throw line. A lot of times, though, they're more about protecting the paint. They're not going to foul as much. You know, a lot of times they'll get, you know, exposed at the 3-point line. You saw that in those numbers I tried to put out there the other day in their nice non-conference win. So there's a lot of ways to go about it. I certainly think, to say the game's not more physical than it's ever been is just wrong. And in my personal opinion, the bonus is scaring the officials to death. And if we could ever get to the quarter bonus, I certainly think starting those numbers over at 0-0 every 8 minutes would help tremendously.
Interesting concept, both in the question from the fan and what Mr. Combs has been espousing, I think, for several years here. We usually get to that at least a couple times during basketball season. So, guys, we're going to start the meat and potatoes of the show. And up first this week, let's look at several things being overlooked in SVC basketball.
I don't know where I'm going, but I sure know where I've been. Hanging on the promises and songs of yesterday, and I've made up my mind. I ain't wasting no more time, but here I go again. Here I go again.
Number one on the John Bruce Hit Parade, Whitesnake. That's his first selection.
I was going to say, Bruce bringing his A-game this evening.
No. I know you had some technical difficulties there, Shane, towards the beginning of our show, but I and you may not have heard me say this, but all these bump music selections are selected by Mr. John Bruce. So this
John's bringing his A game to
that's right.
Yeah, yeah. But there, guys that had too much of a lead in that.
It did. I thought I don't remember how long the lead in is before it really kicks in, and apparently it is a little longer than I thought.
Well. You hang in there. You'll get better next week if we have another week.
Yeah.
On with the show. Advanced Services bringing us this section. They're heating, cooling, and refrigeration. They're celebrating over 20 years of serving Southern Ohio, and you can give them a call at 877-947-4499. You can go to their website, advancedservicesHVAC.com, and you can schedule a consultation right there on the website, Advanced Services Heating, Cooling, and Refrigeration. We thought we would give these two young men a little bit of latitude here, excuse me, an opportunity to come up with five things that people or fans are underestimating about SVC basketball. Now, this can be boys, it can be girls, it can be varsity, junior high, or JV, or junior high, just anything you guys want. And we're going to have each of you try to give us five things that you think are being underestimated. We're going to go back and forth. We're going to go first to John. John, what's one thing you think that people and fans may be underestimating about SVC basketball?
My number one is the depth of the girls' league at the varsity level. It may not be a, we'll say, traditionally great league where anyone's going to make a super long run in the tournament or where we have multiple teams doing it. I do think the overall depth of the league is much better than it has been in the last few years. And it doesn't allow you any true nights off if you're not prepared or you just go in, walking in, you think you have a easy win. You're at the very least going to be pushed. And I do think that it's much more than a one-team league, which is something I'd kind of heard in the preseason. So I really think that the girls' league's kind of overall being underappreciated.
Okay. All right, that's your number one. We'll go to Shane now and hear his number one thing he feels that fans are underestimating about SVC basketball.
Well, I'll go to the boys' side, and I think the playoff football challenges pre-Christmas basketball. I think it's really underestimated, not just this year, but really throughout the career of some of these juniors and seniors, how much wear and tear maybe their body, and it's catching up with them now as they get older, playing at the high level that they do. I think we're going to see some much better basketball from some of these people as we come into January and February. And in fact, I've already seen examples of it. Just here in the last couple of weeks starting to show signs. So I think sometimes we do not appreciate how hard it is to get into that week 11, especially with, John and I both talked about the OHSA scheduling and so forth, how these more and more seasons are just being overlapped and crunched together. And, so I just think that people sometimes underestimate how hard that is to do. And I think we're going to start to see a better brand of basketball coming.
All right. So we've got John one and Shane one. John, you want to go again with your second one?
Yeah, I'm going to say how good the coaching in the boys' league is. Each team really seems really prepared each night, gives you a different challenge. I can't really think of a time through the first round where when we played a team, they just kind of allowed us to do what we wanted to do offensively with any pushback or without any obvious preparation. Kind of have seen that at times before. I do think that skill-wise, maybe one-on-one skills is a little better across the league. I do think we'll see a better brand of basketball in the second half, kind of much like Shane had mentioned. And I think that a lot of that has to do with the coaching and the preparedness of these players as they kind of move forward and get a little more into the groove of basketball season, even though we've only got a few weeks left.
Yeah. Okay. Shane, what's your number two thing that you feel fans are underestimating about SVC basketball?
I don't know that mine are in any order, but I'll pick one out that's more on the girls' side. John, I think fans are underestimating how athletic the Huntington girls are. They're a team that they have experience. They have athletes who have played not just in big games in basketball, but have played in big games across the board in other sports. They offer a lot of defense, a lot of rebounding, the improved scoring. You're starting to see Megan Still start to score the ball a little bit more, but she's also a long defender in that zone, the way she can stretch out. And Katie Hirsch gives you Grace Davis gives them some experience. Emily Halbaugh gives them some experience, but now even a Carly Dyer comes in and starts to give a really long, lanky athlete and so forth. So, right now, from an offensive standpoint, Basie's kind of, quite frankly, almost outscoring the bottom half of the league. But I think as they get to the second round and they start to come back to toward the top two to three to stick their nose in where we thought maybe they would be to start the year. I think that's going to be something to watch is how some of these athletes impact the game, not just in a scoring column, John, but as we try to update these stats more frequently now, start to pay attention to, you know, some of the kids that maybe get steals, you know, get rebounds, some of those, you know, intangible things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's Shane's second one. Again, these aren't necessarily ranked or anything, just opportunities. John, what's your third choice for how fans are underestimating SVC basketball?
I believe we're underestimating how many issues the Piketon boys will be able to give teams in the second half of the league. With Chris Chandler and Bertie Fuller's ability to shoot, Levi Goljan's just a matchup nightmare. Then Tyree Harrison side is a load. You know, they all play outstanding defense, and you add a healthy Leedy with Swain and Potts, and you have a really nice rotation that's going to cause a lot of issues on both ends of the floor. One advantage for them right now is they played approximately 600 games before Christmas, so they have all kinds of times to practice and get prepared for each game. Now that they're playing once a weekend or only league games pretty much here until I believe the last week of the season. They are a very tough matchup and long, and with only one senior, that's a team to look for the next year and a half also.
John, don't you think that'll show up on the offensive end even more so? Because the defense has kind of been there, and they're obviously going to continue to play hard for Coach Miller. But I, as a team that, you know, shoots the three quite a bit, and they're starting to, you know, become a little bit more complete, I would say that's another thing in terms of the product that Piketon's going to start to find a little bit more flow on the offensive end.
Yeah, I believe so as well. They're it's with so many different guys that can shoot the ball and shoot it well, it's going to make them a really hard matchup. And with how one thing I'll get to later was just how improved Chris Chandler is. But I do think they're just a really tough matchup.
Okay, Shane, what's your third one?
I'm going to go basketball in general here. I think this probably goes to the junior high, JV, you know, boys, girl. I don't think it matters. I think that sometimes we underestimate how much the love for the game impacts the ability to just get better throughout the year. And a lot of people might say, well, you know, what do you mean? You know, obviously, they like the game if they're playing and so forth. I think, John, I think we all understand that basketball is a long season. And mm-hmm. and you're going to have some adversity, and you're going to have, you know, we're going to ask you to practice, you know, for 4 days and play two and get up on Saturday and shoot around and do scout report and watch film and do all these different things. You know, if you have kids that just find joy in playing, if you have kids that, you know, they don't look at it as something that, you know, they have to do in terms of, hey, I want to get to practice 20 minutes early and shoot. I want to get, you know, 100 free throws up on my own beyond just what we're doing in practice. I want to get some extra ball handling in. I want to take advantage of film. I want to do, you know, if you have kids that just fall in love with the game, when I look around the league, is I get one thing that's really cool about the website Beyond Coaching is, and I heard John say this a couple weeks ago on the show, you know, John, we feel like we start to get to know these athletes better, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you start to get to know these kids from other schools that you're and you start to figure out real quick when you look at just their joy of playing and their love of working on the game, and you hear some of the comments throughout the year in terms of what they do, it doesn't take long to figure out why certain kids are performing where they're at, or certain teams are performing where they're at, you know, good and bad. You know, I think the love of the game is really, you know, the one analogy quickly, Bruce, I know we're trying to go quicker on these, but like the one analogy I would use is on, you know, take college bowl games. First of all, college football is maybe as dumb a sport as we have in all of sports. The bowl thing, I don't understand at all. Like, I have no idea if, you know, winning some three sponsored bowl game played on December 27th. Is it better to win that but lose like the Sugar Bowl? Or because then they'll put your bowl record up, you know what I mean? And they'll put your conference bowl record. I don't even know what that means. But like what I do know is when I watch these bowl games, John, it usually comes down to like what team wants to be there. You know what I mean? Like, you'll get certain – we've even gotten to the point where, like, if it's not even an important bowl, you'll have, like, five NFL-bound guys not even play.
Right.
You know, so, like – but my point is, like, a lot of times just winning and losing and getting better or getting worse comes down to just having a joy and a love for the game. So I can really appreciate when I see a kid who really, really improves from the start of the season to the end of the season, or when they can't do something very well when they're a freshman or sophomore, and now all of a sudden, John, I consider it a strength when I scout them. That tells me that kid has gotten to work on that stuff, and that just impresses me.
All right. That's Shane's number three, or third one, I guess I should say.
Three.
Okay, John, going to number four. What do you got?
I would say Amber Cottrell's ability to just absolutely take over a game. For UNIO, she's been a four-year starter and does it on both ends. Really one of the elite on-ball defenders in the league. But, you know, she also distributes the ball extremely well on the offensive end. And then all of a sudden has really found her shooting stroke from the outside. Which makes the Shermans even more difficult to game plan for, along with, you know, Emily Coleman, Alexis Miller, Hallie Pinkerton, who can all shoot it. Avery Miller, Cree Stalling, and Jersey Paul, who can hurt you inside and out. It just, you know, if they can stay healthy, that's going to make them kind of a matchup nightmare now that Cottrell can knock down the three as well.
All right, Shane, number four for you.
How much the enrollment plays a role in the little league and junior high levels. What I'm finding more and more in these particular things is that at the smaller schools, the little league is becoming borderline impossible in terms of, and what we're trying to do is marry some of the old school, new school. I overheard a parent this afternoon tell a varsity coach, and it was a very positive conversation about how, you know, at first I was against the travel ball, and you know, now, you know, I know that they need it. It's a must. You have to have it to keep up. And it got me thinking on the way home. It was a particular person who, you know, his opinion I respected and things like that. And I was listening, and it kind of lets me know that, you know, what happens is, oh, John, it's not just that class that's going to have to beat their class the rest of their life. You know, what has to happen is, you know, that one group, they may be very good, but they're going to have to beat people that are 3 years older than them or 2 years older than them. And then they're also going to have to beat people that are a year younger than them or 2 years younger than them, right? Because, you know, by the time, you know, you get into your junior, senior year, you know, schools are bringing people up from different levels. And I think what happens is in the old school, Bruce, if you had a really talented class at a small school that had like, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13 kids in it,
yeah,
that type of group in the old school Little League, that type of group could carry an entire Little League program and really, really develop the group ahead of them and the group behind them.
Mm.
And that's what we're missing now. And I'll be honest, I just haven't figured it out yet. It's one of those things where we are getting more and more individual work. We are getting more and more clinic camp type of work. But that's a real challenge because you just can't have empty classes. If you have empty classes, they weigh on your program for 4 years. You know, you see it all the time, John. We have more and more schools without freshman teams. We have more and more girls teams still playing the two-quarter JV. It just puts a lot of pressure on particular classes. It forces you to go through, even if those groups are going to end up being good, it forces you to go through 1 or 2 years where you're just going to struggle to win 5 games overall. So I don't see it at the big school quite as much, although there are some big schools that, quite frankly, 5 to 10 years ago, boys and girls, boys or girls maybe were a lot better than they are now, or they're fighting through different things number-wise. So that's just something that's really jumped out to me. You know, Bruce, I know that I've been very passionate about Little League sports for a long time, and I've tried to really stretch my mind and go with the combination of the old school and the new school. And that's something that's that's going to continue to go, because it's a challenge. And I don't think most people understand. Most people grow up with their son or daughter in this grade, and they're going to judge their opinion on that grade, when in reality, the big picture is far more than that one grade, you know, of, say, 30, 40 boys at some, or 30, 40 girls at some of these small schools in one class.
Understood. Enlightening. Okay. John, why don't you give us your last one here? Last thing that you feel that fans are underestimating about SVC basketball.
I'm going to say how much fun the JV level can be to watch. I know, just coming from the boys JV level, it's very competitive across. I mean, I would say, you know, six or seven teams can win any night out. We do have one that kind of struggles, but for the most part, they're pretty fun games to watch. They're very competitive. Kids playing really hard. And I know it'd be if you're going to come for just the varsity game, I think you're missing out on seeing some pretty good basketball and some great effort and heart across the league as well.
Right. Okay, well said. Shane, your last reason that you feel fans are underestimating SEC basketball.
Well, John, I had about six, seven, eight things down in case we were going to overlap, and mm-hmm. to be honest, we haven't totally overlapped just yet. But I think I'm going to go with this one because it touches on what you just said. I think in how injuries can really impact a particular team throughout the year, a particular program, and I wanted to touch on what you were just saying. There are two or three JV teams that out of nowhere here in the last couple of weeks I've watched, and I'm like, oh, wow. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, 'cause what's happened is early in the year they might have had, you know, to play some kids up, and then now they're back down. Or maybe, unfortunately, they were playing really good, and then some injuries at the varsity level are going to force some kids up, so they're not going to be able to stay there over the 14-game haul. But I'm telling you, John, what you just said, and I think injuries play a role on how these rosters change up and down. There's been two or three JV teams that have really caught my eye. So I would tend to agree with John there in terms of the quality of some of the JV level, which I think is very encouraging for some of the depth of our teams moving forward. And really, quite frankly, our boys league for sure, but I even see it in some in our girls league. The problem with the girls league is more and more young kids are being forced to play more varsity. Mm-hmm. So yeah, again, you have to kind of evaluate that a little bit differently, but yeah, that's definitely a good point there on the JV boys league.
Anything else you want to bring up, guys, about this? Good topic here, Shane. I don't know whether you came up with this or someone suggested it to you, but
well, I think earlier in the year, John, I don't feel like the Skylar Heist thing falls in this category anymore. Mm-hmm. We mentioned it early in the preseason. I think people have kind of figured that out now. Yeah. Obviously what she's meant. I think some of the other things, Bruce, I have down, I'll save because I think they're going to fall into my second half outlook later on the show.
Ah.
And that's the same for me. I think a few of these things do overlap.
All right. Well, we'll move along then. Up next, we respond to some more fan feedback on topics from last week's discussion. Number two on the John Bruce Hit Parade.
Blue Oyster Cult. I was playing my cowbell over here.
Well, you're going to think this is funny, guys, but listen to this. I have a cowbell that someone got me for just that song. It says more cowbell right on it. So there you go.
That's perfect.
I'll bet you don't have one of those.
I do not.
Oh.
I do have a term paper written about the history of cowbell music. So, I mean,
I was thinking you did that one time.
Yeah,
we've talked about this.
Yeah.
Great. Well, this next section of our podcast is going to be brought to us by Crown Hill Golf Club. Kevin and his business up there at 9500 U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport. Give them a call right now, 740-986-4653. And you can also look them up on the web at crownhillgolfclub.com. Again, congratulations to Kevin for all his all the accolades that are coming his way. Richly deserves them, and we appreciate your sponsorship. Shane, we've got some more comments in our feedback about coaching jobs becoming open. That seems to be a hot and heavy topic. Unioto making a football decision, and more than just football, some volleyball positions are open. So you want to kind of get into that?
Yeah, well, John, obviously this week, you know, we hear the Zane Trace job come open, and when it did, some people had commented on, said, you know, we know Unioto made the decision, which, you know, we'll talk about here in just a second, but like the, you know, you could argue that over the course of the last 10, 15, 20 years, you'd obviously replace Southeastern with Westfall. Is that fair, John? I mean, Westfall obviously more recently, but you could argue that here recently, the four top programs, minus maybe, Adina, are coming open there. So when the Zane Trace adds, I wanted to get your take on Zane Trace, because, you know, a lot of people that I talked to this week feels like the Unioto and Zane Trace job really mirrors each other football wise. And with you having such a strong tie to soccer, and then you having such a strong tie to Unioto, I just wondered your take on that comment. As the Zane Trace job comes open, do you see some similarities in coaching at those two particular schools, or do you maybe favor a particular job over another?
I do see a lot of similarities. I think with, you know, kind of, you just look at enrollment, that does help in the depth of athletes, but also both have really good facilities. You know, Unio still has the grass field, but just overall facilities are really good. And obviously Zane Trace has the outstanding facilities, but Zane Trace has, you know, a really, really good group of underclassmen, where Unioto has, you know, some really good talent coming up through the ranks as well. Maybe the last couple of years, Unioto has been more there than Zane Trace has, but Zane Trace traditionally has been pretty good, pretty nice program there. I with both schools having soccer, I do think that might, or that does take away a little bit of the depth of athletes, especially at different skill positions. But, you know, I do think they do, in a way, mirror each other. I do buy that.
Well, the other thing I would say there, Bruce, and I wanted to make this comment, it's almost more of a comment that I wanted to hear John talk about than it is a question. I think a lot of times when we talk facilities, we talk about what the public sees on game night. So like in football, we talk about, you know, coming to the stands and sitting there and watching a game on field turf or on real nice grass, or, you know, John, in baseball season, obviously we all take incredible pride in our baseball field and so forth. And it's so hard in Ohio spring weather to stay ahead of it. But I guess if I was going to try to change my comment to a question to hear what you had to say, I would ask, do you feel like sometimes when we say facilities, though, it's not just to the public eye, it's the behind the scenes thing. Like, to use a baseball analogy, it's what kind of indoor facilities do you have? When the Ohio weather is hitting and you may only get outside two or three times before the first game, you know, Coach A over here might have this, but Coach B might have this in terms of indoor facility. I assume in football it'd be, but what, the weight room maybe, or locker room facility? What's your take on that part of facilities when we use that term?
Yeah, when I say facilities, it's more where you're going to practice, where you're going to get bigger, faster, stronger. So if you have a well kept up weight room, and you have people to manage the weight room or kind of run it, I do think that is really important. You know, it's weird to say kind of people going with facilities, but I do think if you have a good strength and conditioning coach, or you know, someone that can run the weight room, or the coach themselves, I do think that puts you in a really good spot, because you can focus on certain things that way, instead of just one size fits all. So instead of your skill position guys doing what the linemen are doing, you can kind of throw different things in from here to, like, you know, every now and then. So I do think, you know, the weight room has a lot to do with it. I think the track has a lot to do with it. I think the practice facilities has a lot to do with it, and the practice equipment. If you're using old equipment or old pads and such, that can really set you back away also when it comes to the health of your players as well.
Well, and you know, Bruce, I think this stuff's more important than ever now to kids. You know, mm-hmm. when you think of, not to make it sound materialistic, but I know a lot of times, your facility's on display more to kids now. Back in the day, you just, other than maybe going to an open gym, and even then you wouldn't go to their locker room or anything like that. You wouldn't dare do that. They were the enemy. You know what I mean? Where nowadays, kids are mingling more in and out of facilities together and different things, and maybe working out together, or maybe, playing AAU ball together, or maybe AAU's practicing somewhere, and then, I know a lot of times that the fancier uniforms and the equipment and so forth, that stuff matters. So that's interesting. I guess the other topic, obviously, this week, John is with Hoopsy taking on both the football and the basketball. And I've heard both sides of it, obviously, with my connection to Hoopsy over the years in Uniota. My phone was blowing up earlier this week with, questions and different things. And most of it for the most part, it was positive. There's certainly some questions and some different things, but I guess I'll give my take, and then you could comment, with whatever you're comfortable commenting on, because you're right in the middle of it. I think this mm-hmm. is in respect for the job he's doing in terms of the basketball job right now. That's kind of got to be the focus, but I think I've always said the one thing about Mad Hoops is he's been one of the great teammates I've ever had. And he's always had the ability to lead people, so, mm-hmm. I'm not around him enough to know his X's and O's and different things or whatever. His team seemed to always be very prepared, very, execute very well. But the number one thing I've always said is, he can get a group of guys to go run through the wall for him. You know what I mean? And he's that way with adults a lot of times, the way too. He's a guy that a lot of times gets people to work for him, and he's not a guy that is in power struggles. He lets, from where I stand, he lets people do their jobs and lets people execute different things. So I can see the positives. I certainly understand the other side of it. I don't want to sit here just because I'm talking about a friend and not be understanding that this is different. You know what I mean? This is a lot. Mm-hmm. This is certainly a challenge, but certainly a topic that's come out enough. So I feel like it's something that we should address on the show. And I guess that's where I stand with it. I certainly respect the fact that it could be overwhelming in terms of things, but I think in this particular situation, when you look at the dynamics of Uniota football, Uniota boys basketball, it's something that if the administration thinks can be done, then who am I to tell them they can't be?
Right. And I know that in his preparation for everything, he had to show that he was going to be able to schedule things out and put as much into it as has to be done. And if there's anybody, I like to think that I work hard and, cover a lot of bases and everything, but man, that's a guy who does it as well. 'Cause he's all over the place. He takes care of business all over. And like you said, he leads people. He does a really good job of, and this is going otherwise, but like trusting his assistants, giving his assistants what he wants to be done, and kind of trusting you to get it done. 'Cause I know that, I think a lot of people that know basketball know how good, like a Nick Easterday is. And he puts just so much trust in Nick, and he lets you do your job. And I think that's kind of what has kind of turned the basketball program around quicker than I think a lot of people expected. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him with just a kind of a loaded coaching staff in football as well, because I think that he's the type of person that, he can build trust with the people, and he'd go to bat for you. So I'm really happy for him. He's one of my best friends, obviously, in coaching and otherwise. So, it was really cool to just be able to say congratulations to him, because I know it means a lot to him, and it's something he's wanted to take on for a while. It will be a big challenge, obviously, but if there's anybody that can do it, I think that he would be the one to do it.
Yeah, and I agree. And then the last thing, you know, Bruce, that's come up is, you know, we've talked so much of the football jobs. Mm-hmm. You know, we know how good the volleyball is in our league. And,
right.
You know, there's obviously some jobs there. Now, Uniota made their decision there as well, staying in-house there with Jackie Kello, a terrific high school talent there at Huntington that has since moved over to teach at Uniota and worked with Natalie there. And then she's going to move up and take that spot. And, you know, the Southeastern program that Jimmy Hutton has really put on the map here, that job comes open. You know, the Paint Valley volleyball's open. You know, I may be missing another one off the top of my head, but I
think there was four.
I guess, you know, I guess I just look at it as how much do the football jobs being open impact this? Because, you know, that's going to be such a high priority in terms of the way they look at money, John, in terms of things mm-hmm. like that. But I think it's very, very important for schools not to overlook their volleyball position too, because if you maybe I should be careful here what I say. If you do not hire with great passion in volleyball, you can get yourself going south in a hurry in this league. Does that make sense? Like, is that a fair enough way to put it?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't take long, I guess what I'm saying is, you know, because a lot of times you get your schedule in this league, Bruce, and if your program's not in a particular spot, you're about 0-8 or 0-10 before you start.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like, and that's just a fact. So that's going to be extremely interesting to see. I know club volleyball, it started to serve as a huge indicator in terms of experience. It used to be, John, where, you know, was this person ever coached varsity? Well, no, but they coached this level of club. Okay. You know, so, I get that. The only thing I would say a little differently is sometimes dealing with the politics of some of that stuff on the travel circuit and so forth isn't quite the same sometimes when you get into the OHSA and in the education circle and those types of things, in terms of the way some things can work and in terms of the some of those rules and so forth. So I'll be intrigued to see how some of these schools go. Certainly didn't want to overlook the volleyball positions that are open, because I think this could be a really unique year in our volleyball league, where certain programs are going to have certain holes to fill that maybe they haven't had to fill in quite a while, and it's going to be some challenges to some of the new coaches coming in.
Interesting thoughts there, guys, on the coaching jobs that are open throughout the SVC. As Shane mentioned, it's already halfway for the boys and girls, and next we're going to look at what we are most looking forward to in the second half.
A Monday warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride.
And our third full segment here brought to us by North Fork Animal Clinic, boarding and grooming. Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff are out at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe. You can call them 740-773-7387 or look them up on the web at northforkanimalclinic.com. Shane, you've been through the three bumps there. How did Mr. Bruce do tonight?
Well, I mean, Pretty solid job, really. Good. Solid showing, yeah.
Okay, good. Well, maybe your turn will be just around the corner, so keep that in mind, okay? We'll get back to you on that. Of course, it'll be something from Alabama. We'll probably have to play that.
Right.
But that's shame. Okay, guys, you know, as we mentioned, past the halfway point for both boys and girls, and we're going to give you an opportunity here as we look towards the second half to provide first a top headline. We're going to do one for boys, one for girls, and then I'll move along. I've got three different categories here, but I want first, I don't know how you want to do this, Shane. Why don't I go to John with a question about what's your top headline going to be, and you can give us one for boys. How's that?
Okay, so just one at a time?
Yeah, just do one at a time. Well, I'll tell you what. No, go ahead and do both boy and girl headline.
Okay.
That'd be best.
Okay. So for my boys' headline, I would say Unita's depth on display. Without Isaac Little the last two games, Josh Lambert the previous two games, Unita's ability to play 10 different guys really has shown up so far in 2020, which is the craziest thing I think I've ever said on what the actual year is. Gunnar Greenwalt had an outstanding weekend running the point for the Shermans, while Cater Marco was the man to step up in Lambert's absence the week before. I think the depth has just been such a huge part for Unita's hot start. And on the girls' side, I have Adina's rise from the ashes ahead of schedule. You know, they had a tough week this week, dropped a couple games, including a really tight non-conference game in overtime yesterday, but the Warriors appear to be at least a year ahead of schedule on being back as a program. And one thing, when Derek Webb covered the game on Saturday, he mentioned how Lucasville Valley upset Adina. And I think the fact that Adina has been upset for the first time in like 8 years says all you need to know on where they are as a program and how much of a change they've made. So, you know, you never want to lose, but I think being able to see that they were good enough to be upset is a pretty good thing for them.
All right. Shane, what's your top headlines, both for the boys and the girls?
Well, I guess I had a couple headlines down that would kind of cross over for both. I think one is running down the gold. And you know, you have in both cases here, as we make the turn with the Uniota teams, and you know, John, I think we both understand how hard winning is. So winning every game is really hard, right? You know, basketball is a 2-round sport. You go home, you go away. We just mentioned teams getting better, teams going through injuries, teams going through sickness, different things. You have to catch some breaks. When you do go through adversity, it certainly helps if you can go through it at the right time, if there is such a thing. I just been real intrigued. You had mentioned Amber earlier and Cottrell there of Uniota, and she's terrific. The one thing I think could have been underestimated too is the impact of the health of Emily Coleman. You and I talked about it a little bit on Twitter and so forth. I still don't think that young lady's all the way right in terms. I think she's playing through some pain. She's a pretty tough kid. She still doesn't have the same explosiveness. I'd listened to a game on radio there at Greenfield, and I thought maybe it was starting to go. And then, yeah, I know the Benton County game was where the concern was, yeah. Right? Just seeing her in person real up close there on floor level the other night, certainly as good a player that was out there on the floor that night, but still you're talking about a player of the year candidate went right. You know what I mean? Like went all the way right. So, I think that's some of the adversity and some of the difficulty as you go through, some of these things. So, and then on the boys side, I know, Uniota boys go through some adversity as well. And, you know, find a way to get out of Westfall with a win there, or get a, you know, away from Westfall with a win. So I think that's got to be the first headline if I'm crossing over, is having two teams there halfway home, so to speak, Bruce. And then, you know, the second one, I guess I would just piggyback as a subtitle for both is chasing down Uniota. So that's what both sides are trying to do. I think the best basketball is still ahead for Zane Trace boys, Adina boys. I watched Adina boys the other night. You know, gosh, when they started to make a run, it was like, you know, someone had lifted the entire village of Frankfort off their shoulders. You know what I mean? It was one of those things where, you know, once it started to happen good, it was like, you know, you could tell that they really needed it. Mm-hmm. There were certain individuals that had breakout performances, and you know, the Shipley kids seeing the ball go through had to be a big lift. Just watching some different things. you know, Logan Bennett, I tweeted out there at halftime, just so versatile, just makes the game so easy for everybody around him to play. And I feel the same way with like a Zane Trace and so forth. And then, John, you highlighted Piketon. Boys, I won't be repetitive, but I agree with everything you said there as well. And then on the girls' side, Southeastern's more than proven. You mentioned Adina. I know what records say and so forth. I, you know, in coaching against Valley and Adina for – that game was at Valley. Is that correct or not?
Yes. Yes.
I think the word upset in sports sometimes is a little tricky. I don't know if I might have to disagree with my good friend Derek there just a little bit on the word upset, you know, but I agree with what you're saying in response to that. And then don't overlook, they're probably too far back to come, but you know, when you have a kid like an Allison Basie who can literally drop 45, 50 points on any night, you know, Westfall, if they can kind of get healthy and kind of come together, they're scary. So, I think running down, I just think there's little room for error. I just think that, it may take gold ball to win,
mm-hmm.
Outright titles, 13-1 for sure. There's no way it'll get to 12-2 in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So there's little room for error. So when you understand how hard winning is, winning championships is that much harder. When you think about it, you can't even hardly stub your toe more than a time or two throughout mm-hmm. the entire 14-game grind. That's hard. That's hard.
Okay. Good headlines. Now we're going to ask you for your biggest individual surprise, one for boy, one for girl. And I'm going to go switch things up here, John. I'm going to go to Shane first on this one.
All right.
I think for me, guys, it's been just the overall leadership in the way I wanted to highlight Hannah Stark. It's not that I didn't think she was going to have a nice year, and I'm not even saying statistically she's blowing it out of the water, John. I just think it kind of goes – you and I are a little bit on the same page there with your headline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look around the league, and I think everything was – you're pretty expected. I'm not even saying that Adine is not kind of where I expected them to be. I've just been real, real impressed with the way Hannah Stark has led a young team. You know, a lot of times it's really hard when you take, you know, seniors in high school, Bruce, and you start trying to put them with kids that are still trying to get their driver's license. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that's a different dynamic. It's a different challenge. And I've just been real impressed. I'm not in their practices. I'm not in their locker room. I'm not around them, you know, in terms of day to day. I don't know if they like each other or not. I'm just saying when you watch them play, man, they look connected. You know what I mean? Like they really look as if they enjoy playing together. And, you know, John, all the years I've been around coaching, I don't know if you agree, disagree. I just feel like that has a lot to do with your seniors, doesn't
right.
it? So her and Abby French, in terms of what they've endured throughout their career, for them to stick with it the way they have, I just think that to me, the biggest individual surprise, not necessarily again, how well she's played at times, just how well she's ended up being able to lead a young basketball team. I think she deserves a lot of credit there.
Okay, John, your biggest individual surprise.
On the boys' side, I want Chris Chandler finding his next gear for Piketon. He's already a tough matchup, but now if you just look at the stat page, he's all over it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing so while being at the top of the scouting report, which is something very different from last year for him as well. So it's been really an impressive jump for him to go from, you know, just someone you prepare for to someone you absolutely have to prepare for,
mm-hmm.
You know, in doing it really well. On the girls' side, I would go with Olivia Smith's motor. Shane, you told me before the season about it, but seeing it in person was just like truly a sight to behold. She was just flying all over the court the other night, being a great rebounder for her size. Really, really excited to see how her game grows throughout the next couple of years, because I can tell the heart and passion is going to be there for sure. So just tightening up a couple things will make her even more fun to watch.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. A lot of times I feel like maybe I'm being biased if I mention, you know, Payne Valley kids and these answers. But, you know, yeah, Liv will certainly – you don't have to remind her to play hard. That's for sure.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Our third topic here, third and final, is thing you are most interested in watching during the second half. I'm going to go back to John on this. One for boy, one for girl.
Okay, on the boys' side, I'd say the matchups between the top four teams. I think that these are going to be must-see games. Obviously, Zane Trace getting the wins last weekend with Piketon and Adina, but both were close at points in the fourth quarter. They had to go on the road for both of those games. They do host Uniota coming up this Saturday. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see them. They're very talented, very loaded. Should be really fun games to watch. And like I mentioned earlier, Piketon as an opposing coach scares me. And then Shane, like you mentioned with Adina, really starting to turn things on. They're a tough matchup. If Garrison gets fully healthy, that's a really tough team to play, especially with how good Logan Bennett is. Preston Sykes, just you mentioned toughness earlier. He's one of those kids that, to me, just kind of is what I think of when I think of a tough individual player.
Well, I'll say this, John. I had one I wanted to get your feedback on, then I had a couple I'll follow up with. One, for me, interested in watching during the second half, is Westfall boys' anger.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked throughout the year about identity and about what, you know, to me, and I've talked to some different basketball people around the area, and we try to talk about matchups, and that's very hard to talk to someone about that maybe hasn't really been in coaching or playing or so forth. But, you know, the Westfall boys, for example, someone would ask me, well, how do they lose to Huntington on one night and then play Uniota so tough on another night or so forth? And, you know, how do the girls, you know, just dominate Southeastern for a half and then get beat, but then, you know, get beat, you know, as bad as they did being down 24-9 to Huntington at halftime and so forth. And you just try to talk to them about matchups and different things. But what would you say to that, you know, in terms of, you know, I don't even know if it's a word, but I'll make it up, you know, makes them so upsettable, but then makes them such a prime candidate to upset somebody, particularly on their home court in the second half. You know, don't you just feel like sometimes it's just matchups, and both of those teams certainly don't lack athletes or the ability to score the ball on the nights, especially some of their best players get hot.
Yeah. I think with the boys, they're a strange mix of young and experience. So I think where the youth kind of comes in is going to be where they're kind of upsettable, but man, that youth's pretty talented. I really like the Klein kid. Shipley's going to be a really nice point guard across the league. But then you have guys like Wyman and, Blackburn and Lee Master. You got your upperclassmen that are experienced, and I think that's where they can play teams tight. Wyman's really, man, he's improved. It really felt like he was just a shooter before, but now it seems like he just knows how to get himself open.
I agree with that.
Yeah, and he can score inside and out now. Lee Master is just his motor is just nonstop. And then Blackburn is about 6'3", 6'4", and just put together. And another kid with just a ridiculous motor. So they're a tough matchup. And I do think, especially at home, that's a really tough place to win. And I think that, you know, they're really well coached. I like their coaching staff. I think they're doing a good job. I think they're well prepared. They're a young staff. It's the first varsity job for Coach Meister. They seem like they're getting themselves in good positions. And on the girls' side, I am kind of concerned with their lack of scoring at times, like the 9 against Huntington and kind of some consistency things. But they've got the depth of athletes, especially if Mullins is healthy, to pull off an upset anytime or just outright just beat somebody. This is going to go to the NFL, but I saw someone last night talking about the Titans and Ravens game of, like, this isn't even an upset because you could just see it with how – I feel like Westfall can do that, where you look at record wise and they beat one of the top teams, you'd be like, oh man, that's an upset. But if you just see what they have out on the court,
right. Like if you were there watching it, you might just say on that particular night, well, they were just better tonight. Right.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously consistency for both of them is vital, but I do think that the mix of upper and lower classmen is probably a big reason for the lack of consistency across the board.
Well, I had a couple more things to clamp my notes, and I had one more for you, John. I certainly wanted to continue to remind people about, you know, when I look into the second half, I want to see, you know, just how high can Cam Evans go.
Mm-hmm.
I still think this league, I'm not sure if it's because he played with Dylan Swingle early on or whatever. I still think this league doesn't quite appreciate maybe the career Bryce Newland's putting together. Mm-hmm. In terms of, you know, where he's going to end up in terms of career points and rebounds. He's a kid that I mentioned in our underestimations earlier, Bruce, about the football playoffs and so forth, and some of the injuries and some of his things like that. I don't think, you know, when now you're playing without McFadden this past weekend, and we're crossing our fingers there for this upcoming week that we get better news rather than bad news on the rest of the year there. You know, Trent Mettler is a young kid that came in, did a nice job the other night running the point for him second half against Adina, as well as at Western the other night. But I just think Bryce has continued to grind, and I think he's someone to continue to watch. I guess the last thing I had for you here, the same question I asked about Westfall, I had a different twist of it, John, on Adina. You touched on it with the girls. The Adina girls are now in a position where they're starting to wear a little bit more of a bullseye. People have taken such notice and have really liked what they've become, that, you know, they're gaining more respect. Therefore, they're getting a little bit more of that big game bullseye. On the boys' side, it's kind of the opposite way of where they've just kind of been beat down a little bit early in the year, to the point where now maybe a little bit pressure off. If this team starts to roll, if they could somehow start to win 2, 3, 4 in a row, this team becomes crazy dangerous. You know what, mm-hmm, I mean? Anytime you can get that kind of talent to just relax and play, that's when you have the most dangerous thing. Do you kind of see how two teams started differently, went on a different track, and now it's almost like they flipped in reverse role in terms of that? It's just going to be kind of interesting to see how both of these teams handle the perception the second half of the year. Do you kind of understand what I'm saying there in terms of flipped a little bit? What's your thoughts on the Adina's programs?
Well, and if you're just looking at the schedule for Adina, it's there. The boys, especially, they've faced some really tough teams, and that's why their record was like how it was. And then, like you said, if they can really start get going, and people don't take them for how talented they are, man, watch out. They could really put it on you, because I know they did that early in the year also in their foundation game. Were really able to put it on a team once they got rolling. So their depth of talent is really nice, and their ability to shoot the ball, I think, will really give a lot of teams some headaches. On the girls' side, I do think it's a different different way to go about it for them, because I think we all were kind of impressed and surprised when they beat Westfall the first time around. Well, Westfall is going to – they're going to have their – they're going to be fully ready for them this time. They're not going to be surprised by anything Adina does. So, like you mentioned, having kind of the bullseye on their back now we could really see what they have going, especially moving into the next couple of years.
Well, Bruce, that's a good topic. I mean, a lot to look at there. Piketon girls, certainly, you know, young and impressive. Zane Trace athletically coming on the boys' side. You see, like, Southeastern win the other night, where Gillum goes for 36. We've seen Huntington knock off a team at home, so on the boys' side. So there's a lot to look forward to in the second half, and we'll continue to try to break it down.
We certainly will. And if you have anything that you'd like to impart to these young men, you may do so through email. You can get a hold of Shane at admin1@secsportszone.com. For John, his email is jbruce1018@yahoo.com. On Twitter, Shane uses the handle SVC Sports Zone, and John, of course, Coconut Wall Papa.
That's right.
That's right. Don't ever forget that. And they both use the hashtag SVC Sports Talk, as does Derek and some others when they're tweeting about SVC Sports. So we encourage you to look after that as well. On Facebook, Shane maintains two profiles, Shane Combs SVC Sports Zone and SVCSportsZone.com. And if you are inclined to do so, you may leave us a voicemail message by calling DBK Media Services voice line 740-569-3254. You leave us a message there. We'll get it to the appropriate person, be it Shane, be it John, or myself. If you see our traffic on Facebook, we ask that you please share it. And on Twitter, we ask that you please retweet it. If you're listening on iTunes, how about giving us a good rating and maybe a favorable review as well. So that's going to wrap up. What is this? 272, episode 272. Shane, well, I guess I go to John first. John, big week for you.
Yeah, we have a couple games this week with Huntington and Zane Trace. It'll be a interesting week practice wise, kind of get back going and hopefully be able to get out and watch a couple girls games throughout the week. As well, possibly scouting a little bit. So it's should be a good week. Hopefully getting back to being able to wear shoes again on my both feet. So that's one thing I'm looking forward to. And just hopefully see a lot of good basketball throughout this week.
You know, guys, before we go to Shane, I was just thinking, dare I say this, no weather concerns really so far in this season. So we'll see. I maybe you'll be cursing me in a couple weeks here, perhaps.
Let me write down the time of this show.
You'll remember that. But Shane, what about yourself? What you looking forward to?
Well, this is always a great week for me because a little mix of baseball, basketball. This at the end of this week will be our state clinic, John. Ohio is always known, along with Texas and a couple other the bigger states, is one of the top two or three coaches associations in all the country. So they put on quite a clinic up there, Bruce, up in Columbus. And
is there food?
We eat a little, every now and then. It's fun. You go up, have your district meeting. It's an opportunity to get face to face with every coach in the district and square away some scrimmages, square away some different drills and some different things. And so that's always a good time. And then, basketball wise, the Unioto Zane Trace game sneaks back up on us there in terms of the way the schedule with the option of Super Saturday. I know it confused people in the first half. It looks like Paint Valley, Huntington are the only two schools that have chosen to do that. So I think the other girls' games remain on Thursday, whereas the Paint Valley, Huntington JV boys-girls play Thursday, and they'll go ahead and play boys-girls on Saturday again like they did in the first round. Whereas around the boys' league, I think the biggest thing for me, Bruce, will be on paper – Unioto Zane Trace both have kind of games on Friday night that they're supposed to be heavy favorites in. We make so much of the back to back. Who's able to come out and do the necessary things to, maybe not put more pressure on themselves Friday night in preparation for Saturday. So that'll be something interesting because I know those two opponents on Friday night certainly aren't going to come in and lay down. I know they're going to be well prepared, as John just said, and come at it. So those are some of the things that we'll look at. So it's an exciting time. I hope to report back on some of the baseball thing. And like you said, the weather certainly allows you to do some different things in your winter workouts that you don't get to do some years. So that's certainly been nice. But guys, good show. Look forward to a great second half. I think we have some interesting basketball. And even though certain teams are going to quickly become mathematically eliminated in the league, as always, we have that second season kind of lingering out there. Not too long from now in terms of tournament. So we'll start to look at some seeding too. So guys, appreciate the effort. Appreciate you hanging in there with some technical difficulties early tonight and good show. We'll look forward to some great fan feedback and we'll get together next week and do it again. So fans, make sure you're checking out the website, svcsportzone.com. We will always do our best to keep it 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.